Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to the calls on the Mets and the Yanks, 888-808-1019. And there is one more name that I want to bring up as far as the possible trades go, according to Passan. But we have not really gotten into the Knicks. And according to Shams, the Knicks are going to interview Minnesota Timberwolves assistant Mike Anori for their head coaching job. Nori's been a long-time respected assistant. He's a good offensive mind, ran the offense in Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns. So that's probably the tie-in right there. I got a little insight to his personality with some of the clips that are out there. He says some crazy things. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a player's guy. Your thoughts, BT, on Mike Anori?
I'm not going to dismiss him just because he's not an incredibly well-known commodity. And I know you ran through a little bit of the resume. He's been an assistant, though, in some other spots, into the Pistons, the Kings, I think Denver for a minute. He seems to be well-liked. He seems to be well-respected. This obviously would strike me as a move to, you know, to reinforce and strengthen the place and the relationship that Karl Anthony Towns has with the Knicks and with the organization, which I'm not in the business of doing. I'm not saying I'm looking to alienate Carl and make his life harder, but I'm sure as hell not going to go out of my way and trip over myself just to placate him and pacify him. Nori very well might be a really good coach who also brings, or at least an intriguing option, because nobody knows if he could really coach as the head man, just as an assistant. So you might get the X's and O's and some offensive innovation, which I've been calling for, and also a connection to Cat, which is, you know, appealing to me. But I think the other thing that you have to understand here, and it's bothersome because they're dragging their feet a little bit here, in my opinion, but there's no other opening in the NBA. So it's not like there's two or three other jobs and they are vying for one of the candidates that two other teams have their eye on. The Knicks are the only team looking for a coach. So while it's a little frustrating and it's a little odd after a run to the Eastern Conference Finals not to have a coach by draft night when trades were already happening with Durant, it doesn't preclude them from getting somebody who can elevate them because nobody else is looking for a coach.
I don't like the idea of placating one star either, especially Karl Anthony Towns versus Jalen Brunson. However, if I were to tell you that Mike Anori is going to get Karl Anthony Towns more three-pointers, which is something that, you know, was a big thing that I wanted to see. I want to see Cat shooting more threes. Mm-hmm. Then wouldn't you be on board with that? Like, there becomes a point where, yeah, on principle, I'm not placating Karl Anthony Towns. Like, get the right coach and let him figure it out. But there also becomes a point where you'd be foolish not to maximize your best assets. And maybe Nori can be best suited for that, being that he had Cat under him in Minnesota.
Okay, so I would answer your question with another question before I can give you a different answer or my true answer here. If it is Nori, which, by the way, I don't think it will be necessarily. I think, just as a little side spin, I think this might be the Knicks' way of putting it out there, let Dallas know, hey, we're serious about moving on if you really want to make that trade. Yeah. You know, I think that this part of gamesmanship here, and I don't think it's unwise like the Jets did, to empty the tank, and if you're going to be this deep into the coaching search, you may as well flip over every rock and see what's out there. So I don't really have an issue with that. However, if it is Nori, is Rick Brunson back?
Yeah, I would think Brunson.
Then we got a problem there.
I think Brunson's coming back.
Then I got a problem there. You know what? Then I think that that's bad. Because if Rick Brunson's going to be brought back, in my opinion, then Rick Brunson needs to be brought back with somebody who's already been a head coach, like a Taylor Jenkins or a Mike Brown or a Jason Kidd. The last thing that a team that is knocking on the door, and the Pacers will be different next year, and the Celtics will be different next year. The last thing that we need is a little power struggle with Rick Brunson trying to usurp Nori, who's a first-year coach. So I would just work around that and make sure I'm not in a position where that could even possibly happen.
Let me play you. There's a compilation that I saw of Mike Anori, some soundbite.
Okay.
Right. I don't know if you've seen this.
I have not seen this.
You have the whole thing
now? Mashup?
Okay, yeah. It's a little mashup of some of his, because he's, you know, a little bit out there.
Eccentric? Eccentric or like aggressive?
No, eccentric.
Like weird? The Dolphins coach? Like that kind of eccentric?
More like, you familiar with Ted Lasso?
Of course, dude.
Okay, more like that. Go ahead, Dove, hit it.
Nothing, fast break points, boom goes the dynamite, there goes our lead. We got to treat Bane like you do the elf on a shelf on Christmas morning. You got to find him. You
know, he makes everybody comfortable. He's like popcorn during Saturday night movies. Our paint defense was like 7-11, open 24 hours. Realize they had it's on like Donkey Kong the way they started out. First time all year that we were kind of on almost like a hot mess express.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that one bit, man.
See?
You know, I'm sorry.
That's how you and I are opposites. I love that.
I love that when there's a 17-win team and it can entertain me to get through a cold winter's month. I'm not feeling that when I'm trying to win a championship and this guy's dropping one-liners that are pretty corny. Come on.
The opposite.
The Donkey Kong line I said 20 years ago, yeah, and I'm saying it back in the day.
Boom goes the dynamite. That's the genius of it. It's so out there.
He didn't even make up the boom goes the dynamite. He bit off. There was an old broadcaster.
I understand that.
This guy doesn't even have original content.
But that's what's funny about it. To me, that is funny. And you're going from Tom Thibodeau. Now, look, I wouldn't have moved on from Tibbs, but some people say he's too hard. He's too rough around the edges. I'm not moving on from him. So I like that personality right there from Norrie. Now, it wouldn't be the first reason that I hire him, but I think it could be at least entertaining along with the offense that could get Carl Anthony Towns more looks at threes.
Entertaining. Okay, so how about we hire him and we put him on the corner of 7th Avenue and, you know, he can do a little stand-up routine and people could throw money at him in case it doesn't work out as the coach of the Knicks. He's got a second job right there.
Oh, man.
I am not messing around.
Yeah. Well, wait,
I can't take the chance.
So you don't like that at all? Now
I did not like what I just heard. It's not going to work in New York. I mean, it might work in Minnesota. It might work in Memphis. It might work anywhere, but it's not working. It wouldn't work in Philly. It wouldn't work here. It probably wouldn't work in Chicago. It wouldn't work with the Lakers. Maybe everywhere else. I have no interest in that.
Why not have some fun with it?
That's corny.
Why is everything going to be so serious? It's just sports. It's just a game.
Yeah, okay, dude.
Look who's talking.
Yeah. It's just a game.
I think that's funny.
Serious. Yeah.
Hey, if you can make the most out of Carl Anthony Towns and get this offense humming, what do I care what he says? I'd rather that than,
we played this guy 3 minutes tonight because...
that's a bore fest. Or just the chalk answers.
Defensively, we move this guy.
No, give me some personality behind it.
I was getting a little bored with Tom Thibodeau's presentation, so I'm not saying that I'm averse to mixing things up a little bit here, but if you're going to mix it up, at least get a coach who's done it before.
BT and Sal, all the fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Chris is calling from Barnett, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Great show, guys.
Barnegat. I'm sorry, I've never heard of that before. Go ahead, Chris.
No worries. Yeah, Barnegat. BT, you're right, because we knew Pete would never be able to do this in his dreams. But hey, Sal, no worries, because in about a week, when Soto keeps mashing, you're going to be corrupt, and you can hang out over everybody's head. But I wanted to call about the pitching lab.
Okay.
So we know that they need to make changes, right? The 100 pitches, or not even barely 100 pitches, most of the time less than that, in the fourth inning, fifth inning, barely, is not going to be sustainable moving forward. So with the pitching lab being this revolutionary pitching lab, right, we need to make a revolutionary adjustment, okay? Guys, I look at this pitching rotation, and I see about 8 starters, and only 3 or 4 of them are competent. Now, that might change at the deadline. You know, just some names out there, Alcantara, Skeens, tie-in, you know, statistics aside, right? Guys, what's stopping them with all these pitchers from just doing four innings? 4 innings here, 4 innings there, go straight down your 6 or 7 sure starters? Because I don't think the back end of these bullpen guys really have value at the trade deadline. Like, they're going to be on this team. Blackburn's going to be on this team.
Edwin Diaz.
Montas is going to be on this team, guys. They stink, so we need to make
Montas. You haven't even seen Montas pitch with the Mets yet, Chris.
I know, but he's going to be here, Sal. You know he's going to be here.
You said he stinks. I know he's going to be here. You hope that he's okay. Blackburn, not so much. Blackburn's not going to be on this team in a postseason roster.
But they just have no strength in the arms, guys. We know that when September comes around, that when Senga gives us 5 scoreless, we cannot worry about inning 6, 7, and 8.
It's the biggest concern, Chris,
for this team.
Yeah, interesting. I appreciate the thought. I mean, that's an original take. We have openers, but you're basically saying to take it a step further. I don't think that's going to happen, but I appreciate you know, thinking outside the box here. Problem is, like, the way the pitching's gone so far, Diaz didn't pitch against the Atlanta Braves in the previous series.
Right.
No, in the Phillies, pardon me. Wait.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Is it the Philly series?
He pitched against the Braves.
He didn't pitch in the Philly series. Yeah. So, to me, like, all right, is that just an isolated three games, or is it a greater issue, which is what I think Chris was speaking to, which I don't necessarily disagree with. Yeah, it's one thing to have an abundance of arms. I no longer, and I never really fully was on board with the pitching being as good as it looked early. I just don't think that they've got enough quality arms. I think they've got too many secondary and third-level arms. Now, Manaea, if he comes back and he's really the real deal again and he's dealing, then that changes everything because now everybody slots down in a more, you know, impactful spot. But the other limitation, I know this is like, you know, we're beating this to a bloody pulp here, but these are real med issues. Holmes with the innings, Senga's always banged up. Like, there's other things. Canning, I'm just not buying them right now. I'm not. So I think whatever they do, whether it's being innovative or just striking a massive trade, they got to do something because I don't think this is going to fly for the next couple months.
But there is a difference between getting through the regular season in which you want the numbers, whether it's Griffin Canning or Paul Blackburn, you need those guys to help you get through a long season versus the postseason. When the money's on the line, I would bet right now, all things considered, that Griffin Canning, Paul Blackburn, Tyler McGill, they're not on the Mets postseason roster, assuming that they get to the postseason, which is a pretty big assumption at this point because they got to actually prove their worth from June on. Like, we know what they did prior to the last 10 games, but they got to prove themselves. But those guys aren't going to be on the postseason roster.
I agree with that. I do. That's why I'm not going nuts about this. But when they will be on the mound, they very well might be in the mound or on the mound in September, when games still matter because Manaea pitched the previous series and you're going into a new, whether it's, and I'd have to look at their schedule, but whether it's the Cubs, whether it's one of the teams they're vying against, you know, for the division or another wild card spot, where Manaea's pitched and, say, Holmes has pitched or Manaea and Senga, and in succession, you're getting Holmes who might be tired and then two or three guys who I don't trust. So, no, they're not getting the ball game one of the NLCS. If they get there again, understood that, but doesn't mean they're not going to pitch in important games in August and September.
The Mets rotation should look. Now, look, anything happens. If injuries happen, I mean, what are you supposed to do? There's nothing you can do about it. But right now,
make a trade.
I think right now it's as bad as it's going to be. They are expected to get Manaea back soon. They are expecting to get Senga back at some point relatively soon. Those two guys alone coming back is going to change the entire look of this rotation. So much so that you could live with spreading Clay Holmes out if you needed to. Having Senga, Manaea, Peterson, those three, Montas if he stays here, like giving you the luxury of, okay, well, we could go Montas, we could go Canning, we could go Blackburn if needed, if you want to give Holmes a little bit of a respite. Or you have Clay Holmes, or you go to a six-man rotation. Like, they're going to have many different options, assuming Manaea and Senga come back healthy.
I feel a lot better about that if I had more conviction in the offense. See, that's my bigger...
But that's why I think the offense is a bigger issue than the pitching.
Yeah, but they're all interconnected for me. That's why I think the Mets, and this has been my theme really this week after just watching some rough patches, which I believe is a little more than a rough patch. I think it's, unfortunately, there's issues they got to change. Like, yeah, the pitching is going to get healthier, and eventually they'll be able to get, I believe, more quality starts. But no matter who you trot out there, you're not putting up, you know, one run and three hits on a consistent basis. You got to start hitting here, and the last five sticks ain't getting it done, and I don't love their defense, and then even some spots in the bullpen. There are just a couple of too many leaks springing for the Mets.
Nick is calling from South Carolina about the Yankees. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, pal?
Good. What's up, Nick?
I just wanted to call and vent about the Yankees. BT,
yep.
They're driving me nuts. Every night I watch them, either I watch it delayed or I watch it live, and every night it seems they leave an army of men on base. They do not hit with runners in scoring position. It's so frustrating to see men on first and second or first and third, one out, no outs, and they can't push a run across. It's like they're getting up there and they're just lost at the plate. You know, with the exception, and it's really evident because they've been doing it for a while now. when the pitching is really on, we still win. Mm-hmm. But when the pitching is average to mediocre, we lose.
Yep, I agree with that.
And the hot corner, the third base, if they do get somebody for third base, you put Chisholm willingly, hopefully put Chisholm back at second. Uh-huh. Now, what do you do with LeMahieu?
I mean, I don't care what you do. He can park cars for all I care. Put him in a parking lot. What do you do with DJ LeMay? I'll tell you what I'm not going to do, Nick, and thank you for the call. I'm not going to play him in the playoffs necessarily, although they might. I wouldn't. Yeah, they got to upgrade. And, you know, Nick, I appreciate your passion for the Yankees. You know, you sound like you've been doing this for a while. You still got the fire. That's great.
Love it.
Yeah, I do too. But you shouldn't be surprised. If anything, you should be a little desensitized to these struggles because while I believe it's a better product this year in terms of well-roundedness, it's still not as good as I think it needs to be a World Series team. And we've seen this for a while now on the bags, whether it's a lack of speed or a lack of IQ or the defense falling apart in the World Series a year ago. Pop-ups played with Volpe and Chisholm, the play at first base with Rizzo and Gerrit Cole. Like, there's been malfunctions. And then, of course, the thing that I think has driven us all the nuts the most has been situational hitting and a ton of strikeouts when guys are on base and you don't even need a hit to score a run.
It's extremely frustrating because it's been a constant. And if they don't break through this year, because there was the thought about, okay, well, they're better without Soto, you know, whatever, not to make it about Soto, but different and building a better team defensively, they fit better, balanced lineup.
Yep.
If they don't break through and win the World Series this year, Judge another year older, standing, like, where's the end game here?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. I don't feel as if there's an absolute plan. I feel like it's every year, all right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know we have a good team. Let's see how we do. And if we fall short, we'll adjust, but we won't overhaul. We'll tweak. And so far, the tweaks ain't working.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.
My kids are done. You know, camps have started. And Gallo's obviously young, no kids yet. And he was on the train. He was telling me that he bumped into a group of Xaverian kids, which is a Catholic school in Brooklyn. And they were on the train, and it was their last day. And they were all, you know, getting loose, and they were having fun. And then he went to tell me that he actually went to a Mets camp when he was about 10 or 11 out in Glen Cove, right? And he went for, it was like Monday through Friday. Daryl came to help with the hitting.
Nice.
And he said it was Vance Wilson and Ty Wigginton. We're the two main guys. And I'll tell you, this is how distorted we have become and really how much the game, and it just hit me with Ty Wigginton. I don't know why. I'm like, I remember Ty, first base, third base, went to the Pirates, and then you said in the Benson deal, I think you're right about that.
I think.
So, and I just, like, I associate Ty Wigginton with being a scrub. No disrespect.
Same question.
Right. I'm like, it's Ty Wigginton, my God. And I look up his numbers, I'm like, wow, he had a career OPS of 760, he hit 170 home runs, and he had a career batting average of 261. How many Yankees and Mets right now have a batting average of 261? And we're saying that this guy's a complete stiff.
He'd kill for Ty Wigginton. I mean, that's crazy how the game has changed. BT and Sal, the Fan. This baseball brief is brought to you by Guinness Stout. Yeah, while Ty Wigginton's not available, one more name that I'd be curious to get your thoughts here. This is from the Mets perspective here.
Okay.
Sevy, Luis Severino. 40% chance passing has him at 40% chance getting traded. The Mets are on that list as a possibility. I don't know why Toronto, Chicago, Baltimore, like why Baltimore on there.
Baltimore.
Toronto, Chicago makes sense.
Is there a draft pick attached to it maybe? Maybe that's why you got to incorporate that. Who even cares? But
teams are intrigued by his road numbers, which are exceptional. 0.93 ERA in 38 and two-thirds over six starts without a home run allowed.
Wow.
Contract is intriguing. Goes two more years at $47 million. I mean, the Mets would be a nice move to bring him back.
Yeah, Luis Severino, sure. I think that he would help you guys. Well, I'd rather have Severino tonight than Montas. I'd rather have Severino last night than Blackburn. And I think moving forward, I think I'd rather have Severino over Canning. So, yeah.
Yeah, Again, while the money thing is a part of it, it's not a lot of money, but the Mets.
Hey, but isn't that the advantage for the Mets these now?
My thing, yes, but I'd rather spend that money. Like, if I'm doing it, I'd rather get two bats and a loaded. I want the best bullpen arm available. You and I disagree. Like, I don't think they need a big move in the lineup. I think they need multiple moves. I want, like, two moves that could raise the floor.
Yep.
And then I want the best bullpen arm available and probably an additional bullpen arm. I'd rather those things than I would starter. But if you could get somebody at the right price, yeah, then of course. Like, would I mind Sevy coming back in that rotation? Again, he's not a top guy, though. He's just another one of the mid-level solid arms that would, you know, make nine for the Mets.
But the difference with those mid-level solid arms, and this goes back to the price point here, even though Cohen's loaded, you know, Canny's making peanuts, yeah,
exactly.
Blackburn's making peanuts, most of these guys are making nothing. The one thing that, listen, anytime you make a move, and this goes into both the Yanks and the Mets here, because I believe they're both going to make trades, you have to at least, you can't always know. You have to have good instincts, and you have to be right about that player's ability to flourish in this craziness of New York baseball. Check. Severino's done it both sides of the tracks.
BT and Sal on the Fan. This baseball brief was brought to you by Guinness Stout. It's a lovely day for a pint of Guinness. Pat is calling from Weston, Connecticut. What's up, Pat?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Pat.
You know, the one guy that I think, I'm a longtime Yankees fan from 67, and I always hate trading away to prospects. I love rooting for them.
Yeah, they all work out, huh?
Not always. But a guy that will fill out our lineup the best is Jose Ramirez from Cleveland. I don't know if it's available, but I think Cashman's got to step up with a couple of our top prospects. If we got to part with Dominguez, maybe a top pitcher, an infielder, He would add to our continuing increasement in team speed, a contact hitter. I mean, he's the guy. Plus, he signed a pretty team-friendly contract when he got his extension.
I think it was like
so his number would not be giant.
Yeah, but then if the number's not giant, why would it be prohibitive for the Guardians who need to save money? And it's not. I'm looking at it now. So he's got, wow, what a steal, man. Pat, he's making $21 million next year, 23 and 25. And oh, yeah, by the way, he's hitting 323. He's got 20 steals already. Never strikes out. He struck out 80 times. He never struck out over 100 times in his career. And he's a phenomenal fielder. Yankees are not getting Jose Ramirez.
Why would anybody? There's no way the Guardians would give him up.
The only way you do that, and they aren't broken. Like, if they were Chicago White Sox broken, which they're not even close to being that big.
Right.
Then you're like, okay, he's 32, 33. By the time we get this thing turned around,
right,
his contract's going to be up. He's going to be a diminished figure. That's when you make that kind of a move. But there's no way he took that money. He actually seems to love Cleveland. And I remember when he signed the deal, we're like, wow, he took a hometown discount. And he himself said, I love being a Guardian. I want to be here. And why the hell wouldn't they love having him at 70 cents on the dollar?
Yeah, they're two games over 500. Let me just bring up the
wild card. He's a Hall of Famer, Sal.
They're right there in the wild. Oh, God, he's a Hall of Famer.
What?
Ugh, I'm not saying he is or he isn't. Initial watch with him. Yeah, maybe the numbers are. I don't look at him as a Hall of Famer.
Dude.
I mean, maybe because I watch him in the postseason not be anywhere near his normal self.
I mean, here's the problem, though. As much as I say he is, and I believe that he is, just based on, forget about the benchmarks, because I don't know if he'll get enough. He's only got 1,600 hits. He's got 268 home runs, so he's not going to have 500. He's not going to have 400 home runs. He might. He's got 270. He's not going to have 2,500 hits, I don't think. So those things won't be there. But just watching this guy play baseball, I mean, you always say you want a ball player.
Mm-hmm.
This guy runs.
Like,
he feels. He throws. Power. Contact. Like, let me ask you this. Do you think he's a superstar? I do. I have no hesitation.
I think he's a star player.
Okay, he's got, let me see here. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's got 6 All-Star games. You know he's getting in this year, so that's 7. So he's got 7 All-Star appearances by the age of 32, and he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 top 10 MVPs. Man's a Hall of Famer.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Jody is calling from Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Jody?
Hey, guys. Big fan, as you know. The problem is, for me, I'm a huge Mets fan. When I watch them after the 4 are up, and then I watch 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm always holding my breath. That's number one. You know, what's going on? And when Pete, you know, he's been obviously in this slump now. And when he walks away after striking out, he's got this dazed look in his face. It stifles me, kills me. And Sal, I just hope
whoever the Mets are going to think about trading for. Can you imagine if we had PCA on the team right now?
Yeah, I mean, come on, I know. You know? I hate to go down that road. I usually don't do that, Jody. See, here's the problem.
Right.
The problem was not the Baez trade. Trading for Baez was the right thing. Giving up prospects right. or a prospect was the right thing. Where the Mets right. failed was not identifying the right yep. ones to give up. And you would do right. anything to have that back. Pete Crow Armstrong, maybe yep. the most Holy. Valuable player in the league right now, plays a premier position. He's a high-end defensive player, and he is hitting with power. The guy's going to be an MVP or at least a legit MVP candidate. Those guys in center field, those are as rare as they come right now. That Seriously. Is a killer.
Oh, was that Stearns at that time?
No,
I don't remember.
That was Zach Scott at okay. the time. And thank you for the
Zach
call, Jody.
Scott.
The problem is the Mets valued Matt Allen, the young top pitching prospect that the Cubs wanted. Matt Allen was their number one prospect in the organization at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stud pitcher. And that's who the Cubs wanted. Mets said no. Somehow they ended up on Pete Crow Armstrong, which was maybe like the second or third best in the system. And, of course, what happens? Matt Allen gets hurt, and Pete Crow Armstrong has turned into one of the best players
in
baseball.
Yeah, he's tremendous. He's fun to watch. Not only is he good, he's fun. That, energy. He's just got that juice.
He's the perfect. He's anything you can want. He's a perfect fit.
Who drafted him? Do you remember who drafted him?
I think that might have been Brody, but I'm not 100%
sure. Yeah, it sounds
sure.
like it was around Brody Van Wagenen's time. That was about 6-7 years ago, if I had to take a guess.
I'm not 100% certain, and yeah. I'm not a prospect hugger. You know that by any stretch of the imagination. I was talking to Joe DiMeo, who is a prospect. Like he ranks the prospects in the Mets. I reference him all the time. He does the Mets podcast for SNY, SNY.TV. Because I was talking about this about Pete Crow Armstrong. He had Pete Crow Armstrong as the number 4 ranked prospect in their system before he was dealt. It was Francisco Alvarez, Matt Allen, Ronnie Mauricio, Pete Crow Armstrong. So they gave up the 4th best to get Baez.
Yeah.
Right now, you'd give up certainly Allen, certainly Mauricio, and probably Alvarez, too. And the only reason why I say probably...
Catcher. Premium.
Exactly.
Yeah, where do you have Vientos on that list, by the way, back then? You know?
He was not there. He certainly wasn't in the top 5.
Yeah.
They would have given up Vientos back then, no problem.
Dude, you have it rough. I mean, years ago, you remember the stories.
Yeah, Freddie McGriff, Doug Drabek.
Yeah. Willie McGee. Yeah. Willie McGee was in the Yankee system, too. I mean, for like guys who were 40 years old. And it's almost as bad as the Bagwell. The Bagwell Red Sox trade, what was the guy's name?
Jeff? Oh, yeah, Larry Anderson.
Larry Anderson, like a 39-year-old relief pitcher. And Bagwell, this blossoming stud. Sure, we'll make the move to reinforce the pen for a pennant race.
Well, Bagwell might have, been enhanced by some.
Yeah, but not early. Things. I don't think he was.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so. No, I mean,
just
I don't,
remember looking at pictures.
Sure.
The guy was a stick figure, and then all of a sudden he turns into a Hall of Famer.
He had one of the most unique batting stances of all time.
Yeah, I like Bagwell.
Yeah, he could pick it too at first base. He was a stud.
Brandon's calling from Sparta. What's up, Brandon? What's up, Brandon?
Hey, CJ, Sal.
Yes.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I got a quick question for you. So I was looking at a possible trade maybe for the Mets, giving for Cedric Mullins. I was thinking maybe Pete Alonso, Cedric Mullins, but we could also get maybe some guys from the farm system or even stepping the trade up and getting maybe Jackson Holliday. I don't know if that's possible at all.
The Mets aren't trading Pete Alonso, so that's what you suggested.
That's
that
what
I hear
he
that
said.
The right way.
Mullins for Alonso for Mullins.
No, you're going to get Mullins for a lot less than that. And thanks for the call. Now he wants Jackson Holliday. That's the catch right there.
Yeah,
even him. I got to be honest with you. While there's great potential,
he scuffled.
Yeah, and the Mets aren't in a position right now. Look at Pete's face.
Dude, he is. He does have.
But that's
goofy.
That's kind of the point. We're just watching the replay here and soon. He gets so down on himself.
He does. He wears it.
He wears it, and then he was not looking like that. He looked like a different Pete Alonso when he was having success earlier this season. Now it's looking like old Pete Alonso. Not that he's not going to come out of the funk, because he will, but just to what degree? And he's given some bad at-bats. Anyway, they're not trading Pete Alonso, and they don't need a prospect with potential.
No, no.
They need known commodities right now.
That's what we've talked about a lot. You know, we look at the age of some of these players. Now, Soto's going to be here a long time, but Lindor, shortstop, early 30s, Pete... You know, first base, 30s, like time is now. If some of these younger players wind up popping and developing and sticking, now that's what leads to that longer sustainability where, you got a couple of, all-star veterans and these young guys who join the fray and they enhance the bottom line. But the Mets, because of some of their top players, you know, Diaz's contract as well, you know, you got to win now. You can't punt. You're not going to trade Pete Alonso. It makes no sense.
No. God, no. You ride Pete Alonso out. You try to enhance this ball club.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Seth is calling you Baldwin. What's up, Seth?
You just said the Mets have one thing and that Soto is great. What metrics can you point to that show that Soto is great?
He is. I mean, what metric do you want me to use? The fact that he's a World Series champion? The fact that he's
been around. No, we're talking about this year. You said for the Mets.
Yeah, look at his numbers. Look at his numbers in June. No, I said he's great. That's what I said.
Oh, so you're talking about overall.
I'm talking about Juan Soto being great. What's so hard to comprehend? I mean, what are you getting here? That's one of the easier conversations we've ever had. Do you disagree with that? The last 10 games, do you know the Mets record in those 10 games?
9-1.
No.
1-9.
Correct.
1-9.
Okay. Do you know Pete Alonso's numbers in the baby steps? It's okay, Steph. We'll get there. Do you know Pete Alonso's
numbers?
No problem. Do you know Pete Alonso's numbers in those 10 games?
I don't.
Okay, I'll give them to you. 16 strikeouts, 2 extra base hits, 1 RBI.
Same way Pete was smashing in the beginning of the season. You wasn't talking so negative about Juan Soto in the beginning of the season like you're doing Pete.
It's not accurate. And there's proof on social media.
Accurate.
No, it's not. I was the first one in this town to criticize Juan Soto. Go check it out. Get your facts straight and then give us a call back, Steph. I mean, come on, guys. Give me a break. So now I'm an apologist for Juan Soto. Right. Sal rips Pete Alonso but doesn't question Juan Soto. I mean, you got to have your facts straight before you call up. Oh, man, it's been a little bit of everything today. 888-808-1019. We'll finish up on the phones. But before we do that, Evan did it again yesterday. I don't know if you saw this on the way out. So Evan went to the Mets game last night, as he always does, with Hoff.
Yes, Big Hoff was in the house.
Okay. And before his show started, we were walking out. He's like, hey, you want to go tonight? And I'm like, go where? Like to the Mets game? Yeah, I couldn't get rid of the 2 tickets.
The half-ask.
Like, now, I appreciate him asking, and I'm not even offended by the last-minute thing, but, like, he throws in there, like, yeah, I couldn't get rid of the tickets, so if you want to go, I just can't get rid of them. Like, what kind of ask is that? You were going with Hoff, you already... Hoff, when were you made aware that Evan was going to take you to a game?
Sometime Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Wow, gave you a nice logistical heads up there.
We converse quite often.
I'm starting to get the sense... Evan doesn't really want me to go to a game with him.
Well, I appreciate his transparency because I agree. I think he feels compelled because he sees you. And he is a good-hearted person at his core.
Yes.
I don't think there's a malicious bone. Now, there's some geeky bones.
Not malicious at all.
Not a malicious bone in that man's body. I think he's a good person, a good soul. And, like, he just kind of, instead of keeping it to himself, he says it out loud because he wants you to think that he wants you to go. He don't want you to go.
No, he don't want you to go. I think what happens is he's hesitant to ask because he doesn't want to ask me last minute and have me be offended.
Or he doesn't want to ask you early enough and have you say yes and have to take you.
Well, he would clearly prefer to sell them, which is fine. Then invite me to a game.
Uh-huh.
But he invites Hoff to a game. He invites Mraz to a game. Loogie, Tiki, they're all going to games.
Yeah.
And with me, it's like, And at least he admitted that. I give him credit for that. But it's like, couldn't get rid of the tickets. You want to come tonight?
Yeah.
And I almost said, yeah. Like, I would have loved to have gone to
that game.
That
would have been a good game to jump in on.
Outside
of the result, of course.
I know. Can you imagine me being in there with Soto? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I could. The bottom line is... You're on the outside looking in with Ev.
Yeah, he doesn't want me to go to the games.
I know you've known him for a long time. And
I've gone to plenty of games before.
When he punched you at one of the games, the next game.
We've taken him into Met games before. We've been there.
I know he doesn't have any problems with you, but there's no closeness. Like, there's no realness there. Because think about this. He's boys with Hoff. They work on the Rico.
Correct.
Okay, so you understand that dynamic. You know, he's a stargazer, so he's going to ask Tiki to join along once in a while.
I mean, that is his partner.
It's his partner, of course. Mraz, I genuinely think that he enjoys Mraz and Loogie's company. All right, now Loogie's a Mets guy,
yeah.
So there's that commonality there.
I'm a Mets guy. Like, Mets
I think he enjoys Sean's zaniness there. So he's not going to ask me because he knows I'm not going to go.
Right?
Who's going to ask?
I don't want an invitation. I want a real ask. Hey, you want to come to the game with me? Pick a day, whatever, and then we go. Whether it's Hoff, whether it's Loogie, Mraz, whoever.
Yeah.
But I'm getting the hey, I couldn't get rid of the tickets, which I don't even care. But you know, unfortunately, the way my life is right now, I kind of need a little bit of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scheduled for SNY afterward. I couldn't go to the game last. There's no way.
That's not the principle. You want to know that, you know, he cares about you and he asked you in advance.
Yeah. Now, what's your bone to pick with him?
Well, it's not a personal bone at all. So, funny. It kind of ties into the Mets game last night. So, I guess Hoff was just having a conversation with Evan. Hoff, if you had a guess, how many games has he gone to at Shea and City? 1,000? I mean, 2,000?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a book of 81 home games over the years. Yeah. So, okay. I think he's gone to close to 1,000.
It has to be up there. Not to mention some road games as well. Anyway, long story short, he's never gotten a foul ball. And now that's based on luck. That's kind of based on proximity to where he... Although, where he sits, he should have more
100%,
access.
100%, yeah.
And apparently, just as he was telling Hoff that he's had no luck with foul balls, one came screaming his way. And now I have every reason to know why he doesn't get a foul ball. Because he ducked. And he basically hid under the chair.
That's not
basically.
True. No.
A thousand percent true.
Did he duck?
Ronald Acuna Jr. hit a foul ball. Hit back-to-back ones, actually. The second one got saved by the screen. But the first one came and he ducked. And then almost hit a girl in the back.
And where were you? Where were you?
I was next to him, but I couldn't get through him.
Well,
I didn't want to go through
him. He had a hamburger. Nah,
I was I was on my phone, you know, doing my little, you know, fantasy baseball stuff. But no, the point is that I didn't want to go through Evan.
Yeah.
So I let him, you know, maybe try to catch the ball instead of him putting his hand up. He went down.
And also, I was informed that I guess he has this little plastic contraption, this little fan that he connects to the bar in front.
Yes,
when I see that fan, I think old grandma on the B3 bus in Brooklyn going to Kings Plaza.
He needs that fan to keep his tuna sandwich cool. Did he bring a radio to a transistor radio in there?
He did not pull a turn off.
BT and Sal on the fan. Eric is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. I got a couple of things real quick. They sound kind of kooky at first, but if you listen to them, look into them, they might make a little bit of sense. One, I want to make just a shout-out to my Mets fans. Let us do what we did last year. It just might work. Last year, they attribute the Mets' turnaround to a lot of different things.
Oh, my God.
The rally pimp, you know, the meeting with Lindor. But Grimace threw out the first pitch on June 12th.
Oh, God.
Lindor had his meeting on May 29th. But even before that, in April, what we did was we cheered Lindor even when he was in his slump. And I think we can kind of use that to our advantage a little bit to kind of turn things around a little bit. I want to get you guys thought on that. And one more thing, just real quick before I go. I don't know if anybody has noticed the similarity in facial structure between Jalen Brunson and Kodai Senga. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
That's almost as odd as the Dodgers and Giants get together for lunch when the Giants come into play.
Have not noticed it. Don't really care about that necessarily. Appreciate the observation there. The Mets fans have been cheering.
Yeah. I haven't heard a negative tone yet.
I mean, maybe a little bit with Soto. They were starting to be impatient a little bit.
That's true. There were some murmurs with Soto. I'm talking about like during the losing streak.
Yeah,
early when he wasn't hitting the way they wanted. They were a little frustrated, which I get. No, the Met fans have been supportive. The Met fans have been there. Hoff, what was the number last night? 40,000? You didn't get 40, did you?
I think it was 38,000, 39,000.
Yeah, nothing to push back on that. You're almost at 40. That's awesome on a sweltering night.
Jeff is in Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, guys? I tried to call you early. It was on hold for an hour and a half, so I had to give up and have to do some work.
go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
That's all right. With the Mets, I'm a huge Mets fan. I've called before, and the issue I have right now is they have no third baseman, they have no catcher, they have no DH, and they have no center fielder.
I've said this.
And I don't think that's an exaggeration.
I've said this for a while. I agree.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.